When we came here a few years ago, that summer, I was shooting some videos for a sermon series, and I'll never forget talking to Pastor Sherry about it, who would be ideal, and she said, oh, I wish that Ben Whitmore was here, and he was gone for several weeks. I don't know what he was doing, running around doing something. And but then the talk, and I remember talking to a few, and they said, you have to meet Ben. And he just loves God. He's got a passion for the Lord and all. And then after meeting Ben and just the short time of observing him and watching him, his heart's after God, he's going to just bless us tonight. We want to hear a story of his call to China. He's going back there. Someone told me after this morning's service, they've been to that church, the International Church there. And so, Ben, we're excited for you. You are officially the worship pastor of the International Church in Beijing, China. And let's welcome him as our guest tonight to share the word with us. All right, Ben, we're good to have you, man. Bless you. Love you.
Well, thank you guys so very much. I'm honored to be with you tonight. You know, I was thinking, I wonder if this might be the first time a person with dreadlocks has spoken from this podium. Do you think, Pastor Jeff? I can't remember. Although, I think I could see Pastor Mike pulling it off. Well, be that as it may, I truly am honored and I'm humbled to have the opportunity to share with you tonight. And I'm very excited to share about the work that the Lord is doing in the international community in Beijing. Aren't you grateful tonight that God's kingdom is not limited? It supersedes every boundary, whether it is race, gender, nationality, culture, or language. The gospel is relevant. And we who believe are knit together as his family and as members of his body. Amen? Well, as Jeff said, I spent the last 3 months in Beijing, China, working as a worship leader at an international church. And in a little less than a month, I'll be moving there as a missionary associate and the full-time worship pastor. But tonight, I'm going to be sharing my experience and my testimony. But as I was preparing it, it felt a little strange to think about coming up here and just talking about what I've done and my experience. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk about something infinitely more significant, and that is Jesus Christ and his kingdom. Now, I will be telling a little bit of my testimony. Revelation tells us that we can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But I want to do so for three specific purposes. First of all, I hope to encourage each of you and build your faith as you hear about the way that the Holy Spirit is moving throughout the world. You know, we live in uncertain times, and I know a lot of us are pretty disturbed about the way things seem to be going. But I think the Lord wants to encourage us tonight that he is still on the throne. He is sovereign. He is building his church, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Second, I hope that you're challenged tonight about the way you perceive the kingdom of God and remove any limits that you might have put on it in your mind. To put it simply, I hope that tonight we are reminded of the bigness of God's kingdom. And finally, I hope that as you hear about the need in China and the work being done, you'll be inspired to take part in it by praying, giving, going, and sending. Now, I'm sure I lost some of you at the going part. You might be thinking, Ben, are you kidding? I did all my going when I was your age, Sonny. Now, I understand that, and I would never want to tell you anything different. However, in humility, let me remind you that Moses was 80 years old when God sent him to Pharaoh. And Abraham was 100 whenever Isaac was born. So I just want to take a moment and encourage my mothers and fathers and my grandparents. God's not done with you yet. Now, I don't know how that looks, but he has a purpose for you, and we need you. The message that Pastor Jeff brought this morning was so powerful, and I appreciated it so much. And as a young person, I want to say thank you to my mothers and fathers and grandparents. Truly, thank you from the bottom of my heart. Your support and your love and your wisdom has not gone unnoticed. Now, if you've ever heard a missions-focused message, you've probably heard about giving, going, and praying. But some of you noticed I added sending to that list. You know, sometimes I think that we make a bit of a mistake by overemphasizing the going. We forget about the sending. As I move to China, there's going to be sacrifice, no doubt about it. But equally significant is the sacrifice that my family is making by sending me. You see, I'm the youngest of 5 children, and 3 of us are currently serving the Lord in places very far from home. And we are so blessed to have godly parents that are supporting us. And actually, I'm blessed to have my parents here tonight, so I wonder if I can get them to stand. My parents are here.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Thank you. Now, I say all that to say, parents, I hope that tonight you are inspired to support your children if and when God calls them to participate in the work that he's doing across the world. It is so important. So, I believe that the Lord wants to bolster our faith, remind us of the greatness of his kingdom, and inspire us to participate in the work that he's doing. Sound good? Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for your kingdom. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would speak to us tonight, Lord. Use my words. Father, I pray that they would be your word to us tonight. In Jesus' name, teach us, God. We are here to meet with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's turn to Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Luke 14. Now, great multitudes went with him, Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace." Let's read this last verse together. "So likewise, whatever of you does not forsake all he has cannot be my disciple." Now, I'm a church kid, if ever there was one. And I knew this passage and the many others like it that admonish prospective believers to first count the cost and consider. Because to serve Jesus is not a light thing. You have to forsake all. You have to be willing to go wherever he leads. And where he leads is often a path of suffering. Our brother in Iran is a very potent example of this. And the Lord has promised us that we will endure the fellowship of his suffering. And even if we aren't called to endure physical suffering, we're all called to die to self. So this commitment to Christ is not one to be taken lightly. I knew this. And growing up, I often told the Lord that I'm willing to do whatever he would call me to do. But I had a bit of a misconception. You see, I thought that this radically obedient lifestyle was a bit of an exception. I thought that the default was to just go along with your present culture and pursue the things you wanted to pursue. Because if God was going to call you to do something radical, like overseas ministry, he would surely give a burning bush.
"Ben, I'm sending you to China."
Or at the very least, a very clear and specific call. However, my experience was a little bit different. My experience was a bit more like Isaiah's. Let's read in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Isaiah, I am sending you.'" Oh, wait, that's not what it says. It says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" "Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" In this example, God does not specifically call Isaiah. Instead, he shows Isaiah a need and asks for a volunteer. Now, I need to be careful because I would never want to suggest that a person should go without first being called. Not what I'm saying. I'm merely suggesting that we re-examine what it means to be called and what it might look like. In this passage we just read in Luke, Jesus makes it clear that radical obedience is not an exception. It is the rule. Amen? Now, if you think, like I used to, that it has to be some dramatic event or a specific command in your heart, I would encourage you to search the scriptures and ask the Lord to clarify how he calls a person and how it might look. Now, I must caution you, because if you do this, the Lord might bring you to Matthew 28:19. "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations." Or to Romans 10:14. "How, then, shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" I believe the Lord does call some of us and make it undeniably clear and specific. Other times, I think he shows us the need and asked for volunteers. For me, it happened like this. 2 years ago, I went to China for 10 days to visit my older sister, who at the time was a missionary associate teaching English. She's recently transitioned to career status and has just raised her budget. And in about 12 hours, she'll be heading to China, to Xi'an, a city in the West. Now, when I went to visit her, I thought that I was simply going to see my sister and take in the sights. However, the Holy Spirit had much more in mind. From the time I landed to the time I left, I was overwhelmed by the lostness of that nation. According to the CIA Factbook, there are 1.35 billion people in China. That's one-fifth of the world's population. And over 90% do not know Jesus. Many have never even heard the gospel. Those who have heard have been taught that it is merely a Western superstition, and a true Chinese person doesn't believe it. Now, the Assemblies of God has 218 people serving in China, but that works down to one person for every 5.7 million lost people. I really never knew what Jesus meant when he said, "The harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few," until I went to China. As I walked the streets and faced the relentless stares of the Chinese people, who don't see 6'4" white guys with dreadlocks very often, I was overwhelmed with the knowledge that most of them have absolutely no idea that there is a God who loves them. They're caught up in an endless cycle of atheistic materialism that has them, as young people, study hard so they can get into a good university, so they can get a good job and make lots of money, so that they can make their children study harder so they can make more money. And all the while, they know nothing of the love, joy, and peace that Christ is offering them. Now, while this experience was profound, it didn't quite match the criteria, burning bush, that I had set in my mind. So I figured God was just opening my eyes, or maybe giving me a more specific prayer burden. However, last summer, I had the opportunity to spend 2 months in a different city in China, teaching English, volunteering at English cafes, and helping at a local church. I have a few pictures from that trip, if we want to go to the next slide. You can see the top is an English camp that we were able to do, and we were able to hold Bible studies as well. And then there's a dinner with some of my Chinese friends. And yeah, like I said, I don't know what the average height is in China, but it's something less than 6'4". So. Now, before that trip, I had never shared the gospel with someone who had not heard before. Here in America, it seems like everyone has heard to some extent, but there, it was a weekly occurrence that I would be in conversation with someone, and I would mention the Lord, and they would stare blankly. And I would ask, "Have you ever really heard what Christians believe about Jesus?" "No." "Would you like to hear?" "Yeah." And I would begin with Genesis. Now, this experience was incredibly profound. One Sunday morning, two college students accepted Christ at the church that I was able to be involved with. After the service, they told me that they didn't have a Bible, so I took them to the bookstore to buy them one. Now, they kept looking at these English Bibles, but their English was pretty poor. So I suggested that they buy a Chinese Bible, but they said, no, we want to read it in the original language. How will they know if they are not told? During that trip, I was utterly overwhelmed, and my prayers began changing. I went from saying, "Lord, if you will call me, I'll go," to, "Lord, please call me. Someone must go. These beautiful people, beloved by you, must be told about your gospel. They must know. Here I am. Send me." At that point, I was studying music at Evangel University, and my dream was to compose music for movies. I'd been involved in leading worship. I played regularly for Fusion, and a few times here on Sunday morning, but I never saw myself as a worship leader. I didn't think that was my calling. But at the end of that two-month trip, the missionary who I was working with pulled me aside, and he told me that he had a word from the Lord for me. And he simply said, "Be open to leading worship. I know you have your own plans and desires, but God has given you a gift, and he wants you to be open." At the time, I really wasn't sure what to make of that. But a couple weeks after I got back to the States, my sister told me that there was an international church in Beijing looking for a worship leader. They had heard about me, that I was about to graduate from Evangel with a music degree, and wondered if I might be interested. I immediately knew it was from the Lord. Didn't necessarily like it, but I went ahead and sent an email. And after a string of emails, the church offered to bring me out to do an internship. And in January 30th of this year, I arrived in Beijing. Beijing is a city of over 20 million people. It's larger than New York City. And there are over 180,000 foreigners who live there full time. The church is called the Beijing International Christian Fellowship. And fellowship is an appropriate title because there are actually 15 different congregations with over 3,000 members from over 70 different nations. My primary responsibility was and will be with the English service, which has 700 to 1,000 and over 40 nations represented on average. Worshiping in that setting, you can't help but think of some of the pictures in Revelation that talk about we are redeemed from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. If we go to the next slide, I have some pictures from the last 3 months. If you see at the top, there's the worship team that I was able to work with most frequently. And in that group, there is an Iraqi, there are several Chinese, there's Indonesian, Korean. And so it's just so exciting to be a part of that kind of unity. And then at the bottom, that's a Easter Sunday where I was able to conduct the choir in a special song. So just testimonies of God's faithfulness. Now, as many of you know, religion, and especially Christianity, is tightly regulated in China. The government has allowed the church to worship freely. However, it's limited to foreign ID holders. We actually have to check IDs, and only foreigners can come in. We do, however, work closely with several Chinese churches, and we're actually currently emphasizing least reached people groups from throughout China. Each congregation has adopted a different group and is committed to praying for them and actually going to share the gospel with them who have never heard before. So it's a very exciting place. Okay, I spent a lot of time highlighting the need and hoping to inspire you to participate in what the Lord is doing in Beijing and in China. Now I want to share a little bit about what the Lord taught me through this experience about his kingdom and how big and beautiful it truly is. In the Gospels, Jesus is always trying to explain what the kingdom of heaven is like, and he often uses parables. And there are a couple that I've always found pretty enigmatic. Let's take a look at them. Matthew 13:31. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Another parable he spoke to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." These two parables have a similar theme of subliminality. That is, something happening beneath the surface, but eventually becomes hugely significant. There's a small seed which is sown, but eventually becomes a huge tree. There is leaven, which is hid, and notice that word, hid in dough, but eventually permeates and radically changes it. Let me share a couple of stories that help me understand how this looks in a practical way. At the fellowship, I met a man named Kevin. I don't have a picture of him, unfortunately, but Kevin has lived in Beijing for 2 years working at the British Embassy. He told me that before he came, he was pretty non-religious, but decided to come to the fellowship in order to connect with other expats and English speakers. He told me that he was immediately struck by the passion and sincerity that he sensed, and it wasn't long before he encountered the Lord for himself. He currently volunteers at the fellowship in our welcome center, welcoming new guests. And we see this over and over again. People come to Beijing from all over the world, some to study, some to work, and many of them are very non-religious, spiritually dead, or perhaps they have a nominal faith, but they're in this new environment, new language, new culture, and they'll come maybe just to hear some English, and then the Lord will get a hold of them. And usually they're only there for a year or two, and they go back to their home country as a new creation. That is the mustard seed being sown. That is the leaven permeating throughout the dough. I made another friend named Amar. If we go to the next slide, I do have a picture of him. He's sitting next to me there on my left side. Amar is from Iraq. And when he told me he was from Iraq, I knew instantly, okay, I got to hear this guy's story. And sure enough, it is incredible. After the fall of Saddam Hussein's regime, Amar worked in the new government. He was a Sunni Muslim. One night, while he was not at home, a Shiite terrorist group burned his home to the ground. Around the same time, Amar was driving his car when a van pulled up beside him and opened fire. He showed me the scars on his body from where the bullets, one ricocheted off his skull, another took off part of his finger, and he was hit in the hip. After this attack, he fled the country. I don't know all the details, but eventually he ended up in Beijing with no money and no place to stay. So he was living on the street near the U.S. Embassy because he was hoping that they would offer him some aid. And one afternoon, he saw a vision of a man standing before him. Somehow he knew it was Jesus, although the man said nothing. Jesus handed Amar a bowl of water and told him to drink it. And then as Jesus turned to leave, he looked over his shoulder and said, "Amar, do not be afraid." The next morning, Amar woke up and people from the embassy told him, "We have a place for you to live and we have a job for you to do." This was pretty confusing for Amar, a Muslim man. How and why did Jesus do that? The next night, well, a few nights later, he had a dream. And in the dream, he was standing in a Christian church. What he described as a dark man approached him and was quite belligerent. "Amar, what are you doing here? You must leave." So he went outside, but there he encountered Jesus. And Jesus told him, "Amar, you belong inside. Come with me." When they went back inside, the dark man again approached. "Amar, I thought I told you to leave. Why did you come back?" So Amar pointed to Jesus. "He brought me inside." And then the dark man turned to Jesus. "And who do you think you are?" "I am Jesus Christ," he replied. Instantly, the dark man fell and worshiped at Jesus' feet. The next morning, Amar went to the church. And he currently works there full time on our tech team, setting up for the services. My friends, I think the Lord wants to encourage us tonight. The mustard seed is growing. The leaven is working. Sometimes it's hard to see, but we walk by faith, not by sight. Right now, all we see is a lump of dough, but there is the leaven. There's the dough, which looks like Europe is spiritually dead, post-Christian. But then there's the leaven that has Kevin coming and knowing Jesus and going back to the UK, a change, a new creation. There's the dough that says Islam is on the rise and the church can do nothing to resist it. But then there's the leaven, which has Amar confessing that Jesus is Lord. There's the dough, which looks like America is turning its back on God and this once great nation is slipping away. But my prayer is that tonight we will be the leaven, which stays true to the word of God and faithful to our Lord Jesus. Furthermore, it's my prayer that we will resist the temptation to despair, because we must remember that our hope is not in a kingdom of this world. It is in no government of this world. Please hear me carefully. I love America, and going abroad has made me appreciate this place, the freedoms that we have. I pray that the Lord will turn us back to him and bless us and protect us. However, if the kingdom of heaven can be furthered through the fall of America, may she fall soon. Because, followers of Christ, we pledge allegiance not to a flag, but to a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, that's the gospel in its simplest form. Jesus is Lord. Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. Chairman Mao is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. President Obama is not Lord. Jesus is Lord. And we have a promise that our faith will soon become sight. Paul says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. Let's look at it. "But now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all authority and all rule and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all." May we never forget our blessed hope that Jesus will return soon and he will make all things new. The last thing I want to say tonight is simply thank you. Thank you, Central, for the investment that you've made in me over the last 5 years, from the soundness of teaching to the opportunities to serve to the demonstration of excellence, especially in music. The Lord has used these things to prepare and equip me for this next step. And it is my prayer that tonight His Spirit has spoken to each of you. I hope that you're encouraged by the testimony of His faithfulness and power. I hope that you're reminded of how beautiful and big His kingdom is, and that we walk by faith, remembering the promise of our King's soon return. And finally, I hope that as you've heard of the need, you are inspired to volunteer and participate in the work being done. Thank you guys so much.